Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life. This is part two of our interview with Jennifer Gutierrez.
Welcome to Life Matters, where we engage in open dialogue on complex and important life issues, equipping Christians to discuss these topics and take meaningful action in the pro-life movement. I'm your host, Tony Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center. Today, we're joined by a leader whose mission is strengthening and unifying life-affirming work across Nebraska. Jennifer Gutierrez is the president and CEO of the Nebraska Pregnancy Care Alliance, an organization that exists to support, resource, and equip Nebraska pregnancy help organizations across the state. Jennifer, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks so much, Tony, for having me.
That's good to have you here. You know, pregnancy centers across the country face many challenges, and some of those challenges we see here in Nebraska as well. Mm-hmm. What challenges have you heard from other pregnancy help organizations across the state? What challenges do you see us facing, and how is NPCA helping those Nebraska pregnancy help organizations stay strong and effective in face of those challenges?
Okay. I think the first challenge is believing that the fight is over. Mm. This fight is not over. Mm-hmm. What happened, and I'll tell you what Dobbs actually did in 2022, yeah. But after Dobbs happened, there were donors and volunteers and other pro-life stakeholders across the state that said, whew, our job is done, we're saved. Mm-hmm. No, we're not saved. Right. So what happened with Dobbs was that the decision overturned the constitutional right to abortion that was established in Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. And they did return the authority back to the states. But what that meant was that each state can set its own abortion policies without a federal standard protecting abortion access. Mm-hmm. But then what happened next is the real story, because the states were flooded with millions and millions and millions of abortion activist dollars. And frankly, this had a huge impact all across the country, yeah. But and on large states like Ohio, but on states like Nebraska and South Dakota, mm-hmm. that have smaller populations, smaller capacity to mm-hmm. fight these things, it was overwhelming, yeah. And it was very difficult mm-hmm. It was discouraging and very difficult to maintain that hope, yeah. When that was happening. And so the fact of the matter is that, you know, places, you know, those constitutional amendments, it failed in Ohio, mm-hmm. In Colorado, you can have abortion up to birth. Yeah. So I think that's the very first challenge, and that's one that keeps coming up in different ways.
I agree with you.
This fight isn't over.
I agree with you. I'm glad you said that, because I think back to when Roe fell, and so many of the conversations I had where people were thinking, oh, no, you know, abortion is now illegal. Like, no, it's not. And so, you know, once again, just being able to articulate that to people who think, you know, that it is. And I still feel like, I mean, that was a couple of years ago, but I still feel like it's something that needs to be reiterated constantly. This is not over.
Yes.
It's not over at all. We still have some fight.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, that just, we can't rest on our laurels. We've got to keep going, and we have to try to get ahead of it. Yeah. I think the second challenge, again, people think, well, this is over, and it's not over. And so I'd say, in quotation marks, attacks against pregnancy help organizations by abortion activist entities, both locally and nationally. And by attacks, I'm not necessarily talking about physical attacks, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about things that will drain the resources mm-hmm. of the PHO so they can't exist anymore. So two examples. One, local. Mm-hmm. Driving down the interstate between Lincoln and Omaha, there's a sign for Nebraska Abortion Resources, which yep. was planted here a couple years ago in Omaha. It funds abortions statewide. They receive millions of dollars of funding from abortion foundations, and they're affiliated with the Chicago Abortion Fund. In addition, They established a coalition called Nebraskans for Abortion Access that includes NEAR and ACLU Nebraska, Planned Parenthood, the Women's Fund of Omaha, and IB Black Girl. So these are, again, heavily funded with abortion dollars from outside of the state. Really, the resources are feel like they're almost limitless.
Yes.
And so I think that is the first thing we need to keep our eye on. But secondly, there are national things that are happening that we have got to be aware of, because what's happening is that entities like the Campaign for Accountability, which is a Washington, D.C. based pro-abortion activist group that that masquerades as a nonpartisan watchdog group, they are basically suing and making the lives miserable of PHOs across the country. So, for example, two Idaho pregnancy centers, Open Arms Real Choices Clinic and Reliance Center, are under fire for the Campaign for Accountability. They have launched numerous, CFA launched numerous complaints with state attorney generals claiming that the pregnancy centers are engaged in deceptive practices. It's coming from outside of Idaho. And then if, you know, and the other thing, when we look at the state of Nebraska, we think, oh, like you said, we are a strong pro-life state. We cannot take that for granted.
Amen.
You know, in Illinois, a couple months ago, Illinois Governor Pritzker, he allocated $24 million in taxpayer funds in the state budget for abortion tourism and quote-unquote reproductive health efforts in the state of Illinois, and established an abortion referral mandate that was upheld by a federal judge that forces pro-life doctors and pregnancy centers in Illinois to refer women for abortions.
Wow.
And so, and this is happening in others, you know, this is happening in Minnesota, of course, Colorado, some of the usual suspects. Yeah. But I think what is particularly striking is that they're not just staying in their states.
Yeah.
And there are entities outside that are coming in, like CFA to Idaho.
Yeah.
And just trying to really divide and conquer and isolate. So going back to NPCA, we exist to unify and strengthen the PHOs across the state. So they are not isolated. They are not alone. Yeah. And we are stronger together.
Yeah. You know, thanks for sharing that. I think it's really important for us to remember, you know, you talked about policies. That's why it's important for Christians and believers to be in involved in those policies, because if we're not careful, Nebraska's a pro-life state, but if we're not careful, we can certainly be influenced by some of these other things that are happening in other states. And so just to be aware of what's going on in our state and go out and vote for, and make sure that we have pro-life people in places that can help us maintain that pro-life state. That's good.
Wow. Yes.
Now, many people know about pregnancy centers, but they may not realize the full range of services provided. What kinds of support do these centers provide for women both during and after pregnancy?
Sure. Well, besides the material support that everybody's really familiar with, the car seats or the cribs or things like that, and free ultrasounds and medical support, there's so many other things that are provided, ranging from parenting classes to counseling classes to how to read to your children, food pantries, and clothing for not only the maternity clothing for the moms, but also some centers have clothing up to 5T for the babies and other kids. So there are a lot of different things. And I think going back to the core of tailoring it to community needs, I think that's really the key. One example in North Platte, Linda Logston, who's the executive director of the Women's Resource Center, they have classes for women on cooking, on how to make their own detergent, how to sew burp cloths, and things like that. And what's so neat is that it's helping provide them life skills, but also building that sense of community with other women in North Platte. So again, it's all about what the community needs are. And then the centers are amazing at pivoting to meet those needs.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, once again, very important for us to realize, depending on where they are, different communities need different things. And I just think that's, It's just a blessing to have centers in communities that know what their communities need and know how to help provide them and know how to help them get resources when they can't provide it themselves. So it's good. You also collaborate with like maternity homes, adoption agencies, and other support networks. Why is it important to provide wraparound care? That's what we call it. And how does that make a difference in long-term outcomes?
So, Tony, in thinking about this question, the first thing I thought about was actually my own experience. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, I have 8 children, mm-hmm. 5 boys, 3 girls, ranging in age from 28 to 12. And I remember there was one point I had 5 kids under 7 at home. But I was thinking about even our last one, Lourdes, when she was born 12 years ago. It was hot. It was summertime. She was I was almost 42 years old. She was in the NICU for a week. And really, the first 3 months, I barely remember a thing. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is a blur. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about how I have a loving, supportive husband. We've been married over 30 years.
Yeah.
Parents that had moved back to Nebraska, mm-hmm. and a great circle of friends. And I needed so much support. And I was exhausted. And so when you look at wraparound services, mm-hmm. you have to think not only about when the mom's pregnant and what she needs then, the transportation and everything, but you need to look at what she needs those 3 months after, what we all would need 6 months after. I a beautiful story. I'm going to go back to Superior. So Hope Pregnancy Center there, they told me when I went to visit and talk with their board and volunteers, that they do parenting classes, of course, which I knew. Mm-hmm. Well, there's one woman, whose child was a teenager, and Janice said, she comes back and she'll ask us questions. And I thought, I want to go to Hope Pregnancy Center. but Janice said, we're here for her as long as she needs us.
Yeah.
And so she'll come back from time to time. So I think it's really important, of course, you know, helping to build their confidence, their hope, their skills, giving them the resources to really fly.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I know sometimes when my baby is 21 and sometimes I feel like I still need a parenting class.
I know.
Like, what did I do wrong? What can I do differently?
What is happening?
No. Wow, I'm waiting to be a grandmother. I shouldn't say that, but I am.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview, and it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. Assure Women's Center is a nationally recognized pro-life pregnancy center based in Omaha, Nebraska. Did you know that you can connect with Life Matters online? You can find all of our previous episodes to review for yourself or share with the people in your life by visiting firststeptolife.com/Life Matters or on Facebook at First Step to Life Omaha. Sharing our episodes and encouraging us with a positive comment is a completely free way that you can help us get the pro-life message out to more people.
Welcome back to Life Matters. I'm Tony Clark, and we're continuing our conversation with Jennifer Gutierrez, President and CEO of the Nebraska Pregnancy Care Alliance, which exists to unify and strengthen the work of life-affirming organizations across the state. Jennifer, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Jennifer, what role do churches and individual Christians have to play in this movement? And how can they come alongside organizations in their own communities?
Okay. So, Tony, there is great fear and doubt and loneliness mm-hmm. and pain and suffering that comes through the doors of our PHOs every single day. And as members of the body of Christ, we each have gifts that God wants us to use to be pilgrims of love and hope, to walk with these beautiful women mm-hmm. and their families. Mm-hmm. And so how do we do that? Well, the first thing is to ask God what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
where do you fit in this body of Christ? Because not everybody can do a parenting class or counsel. Right. And so there are a lot of things, you know. For example, one thing I was thinking about, like our PHO in McCook is volunteer run, mm-hmm. ABC Pregnancy Help Center. Do you have marketing and social media skills?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you can donate those, you know, 5 to 10 hours a week.
Yeah.
I remember once you, a couple of months ago, talked about, can you help with landscaping mm-hmm. around the center? Mm-hmm. You know, I think we each need to ask God yeah. what he wants us to do
right.
and then be able to use those gifts yeah. according to his will. So I really think, and then in working together, churches need to work together too.
Yeah.
You know, again, we may have theological differences, but we are all part of that same body.
Absolutely.
And so I just think there's so much we can do, both separately as individual volunteers and together.
I agree. There's a saying I hear often, he equips the called. And I
love that.
Appreciate what you said. Just pray and ask God how you are to be involved. And when he tells you, this is, you know, just go, just make the phone call. I think at Assure and I'm sure other pregnancy help organizations across the state, we love our volunteers, and we could not provide all the services that mm-hmm. we provide without volunteers. Doesn't matter the size of your organization. We all need volunteers. Like mm-hmm. you said, whether it's landscaping, whether it's serving patients or parenting classes, there's a place, and we will certainly train you. I'm speaking from a sure standpoint, but other pregnancy help organizations as well. We love our volunteers because they help us serve those in our community that perhaps we can't always serve with just staff. Mm-hmm. So hugely important roles for volunteers.
Absolutely.
Jennifer, what do you see as the greatest opportunity, the greatest challenge for Nebraska's pro-life community in the next 12 to 24 months? We've talked about a little bit about challenges, but what do you see on the horizon coming up?
Okay, so I think I'll start with something. There are two things. I'll start with something that's both an opportunity and a challenge, and then I'll go to just a flat challenge. So I think the opportunity and the challenge is to serve as many women as possible and do it well.
Yeah.
So just actually a couple, well, in June of this year, the 2025 Life Trends report from Heartbeat International revealed that there were 2.1 million total client visits at affiliated locations in 2024, which was up from 1.9 million the previous year, with almost 800,000 unique clients served this year alone. Mm-hmm. There's been 172% increase in pregnancy help organizations offering telehealth or telecare in 2024. And there was a 17% increase in affiliated maternity homes since Roe v. Wade was struck down mm-hmm. in 2022. These are all great things. These yeah. are amazing things. And we know that Planned Parenthoods are being defunded across the yes. country and they're closing.
Thank
that
God.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
However, we need to make sure that we have the capacity and that we are ready mm-hmm. for every single woman that walks into our doors.
Yeah.
And so, again, a great opportunity to share the love we have mm-hmm. for them and for their baby and their mm-hmm. children, but also a great challenge because we need to keep stepping up to the plate yeah. and keep mm-hmm. keep upping our game as well. Mm-hmm. I think a plain challenge is really chemical abortion.
Mm-hmm.
There are other yeah. challenges, but right now in Nebraska, and the numbers differ a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I'll just say in Nebraska, between 74% and 80% of all abortions are chemical abortions.
Yeah.
And mail order chemical mm-hmm. abortion pills is just a whole
yeah.
other animal, but that contributes to this. And so we really need to be reaching women before they're even ordering those pills.
Yeah.
And so we have to adapt because they're not just coming in to the centers anymore. They're
right.
bypassing them
right.
and they're just ordering things online.
Yeah.
So how do we get to them
right.
in a way that's impactful, that's loving, that's effective, and draws them in so that they aren't doing that? So chemical abortion absolutely is an ongoing huge challenge.
I would certainly agree with that. I don't think that we know the gravity of the chemical abortions, and I don't know that we really know the true numbers.
Right.
How many babies are aborted because of a chemical abortion and a mail order. And that's one of the things that we focus on. We really feel called to focus on here at Assure is how do we reach that young lady before she makes a phone call to order or before she gets online? You know, we realize that that time to reach her is getting smaller and smaller. And so
yes.
We are asking God to show us how do we reach that, you know, young lady before she decides to take that abortion pill. And then maybe, you know, how do we reach her after she's taken the first one, you know, the first pill? Or we just want to be here for her because, you know, there's just a huge opportunity for us to reach that young lady. So hugely important for us. So for our listeners who want to get involved or support Nebraska Pregnancy Care Alliance's work, what's the best way they can do that?
Okay. So they both have to do with prayers. The first is, as I mentioned, we were formed on July 15th, 2021. I would love it if every single listener would pray for us on the 15th of each month, that God will continue to guide us and show us how we can best serve the pregnancy help organizations. Mm-hmm. And then also, as I mentioned, we have 28 locations at this point in time and three more coming, which is 31. Mm-hmm. So maybe pick a pregnancy help organization. They're on our website and pray for each location, one location a day. So that's the first thing.
Sweet.
And the second thing is just to pray that we continue to receive the resources that we need to serve the pregnancy help organizations. And, you know, the trainings, for example, we're completely donor funded. Mm-hmm. We don't receive federal or state funding, no public funds. And a donor funded the trainings we've been able to provide the last 4 years. You know, to be able to connect and to serve all of the PHOs, just pray that God is great at giving you what you need when you need it. And so that would be just our second ask.
Okay. Jennifer, NPCA is a membership organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so how would one find out if their local PHO is a part of the network?
Sure, absolutely. Just go to our website. Mm-hmm. At NebraskaPregnancyCareAlliance.org. Mm-hmm. And we have a listing of our PHO directory, and all are listed there at this point in time.
Okay, good. So as someone who has spent years building and strengthening nonprofits, what keeps you inspired to stay in this work and keep championing life?
So, you know, I'm not immune to discouragement. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, and hard things happen in every family. You know, 3 years ago, our youngest daughter was life-flighted to Children's. You know, I mean, there are always things that happen in your personal life and professional life. But I'll tell you what inspires me is, first of all, seeing the work that all of you do.
Mm-hmm.
And talking with you, all of you build me up and build NPCA up. And I also, so for our first banquet, we put together, a video was put together. Mm-hmm. And it has the stories of women across the state. And that video is on our website. Okay. Everybody should watch it. Yeah. And when I start getting overwhelmed, mm-hmm. I go to our website and I play that video and I listen to the stories of the women who all of you have served and see their children. Mm-hmm. And that gives me the shot in the arm I need to say, take a deep breath and dive in the pool again.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So Jennifer, you know, I know you are the CEO and president of Nebraska Pregnancy Care Alliance. And so sitting in my seat as executive director, sometimes there are things that weigh heavy on me for sure. What's that thing that, you know, weighs heavy on you for the work that you do and for your organization, for our organization as a whole? What's that thing that, you know, you kind of take to the Lord every other day or so? Like, God, when is this going to, how do we get beyond this? What's that thing that keeps you up at night when you think about the work that you're doing at NPCA?
I think it's missing something that, missing something that's happening either statewide or nationally, not having my ear to the ground and hearing something and getting ahead of it, because that's what I see as our role, you know, uniting and strengthening. Well, we do that by being the best at what we do, by being the go-to for PHOs and pregnancy help organizations and pro-life stakeholders across the state. So here's the thing. It's the fear of not being enough. But the antidote of the fear of not being enough is that it's not on us, it's on God. And so that fear creeps in, sometimes a lot, depending on what's happening. And so just we pray about it, we build each other up, we support each other, and we do the best that we can and let God do the rest.
How can I pray for you?
Please pray for peace of heart. So that, you know, I read something by actually a priest. His name is Father Jacques Philippe. And he talked about how God works in peace. And how, you know, a lake is that's perfectly calm can reflect the sunlight perfectly. But if it's choppy, then it can't. And I would say peace of heart so that God can work through me and all of our PHOs in the best way possible.
Okay. Well, I can certainly do that.
Thank you for asking.
Absolutely. So thank you for your leadership, your vision, and your heart for the women and families of Nebraska. If you'd like to learn more about the Nebraska Pregnancy Care Alliance, visit NebraskaPregnancyCareAlliance.org. That's NebraskaPregnancyCareAlliance.org. You can also learn more about Jennifer's work through JAG Consulting at JAGConsultingInc.com. This has been Life Matters, where we equip you to stand for truth and to be a voice for life in your community. I'm Tony Clark. Thanks for listening.
We want to thank you for joining us on Life Matters this week. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on BOT Radio Network.